this week on The Inside Flap.
And it was so cute. My father, as he got older, they get older and all their friends are dying because they're in their 80s, And they'd all go to the funeral and then he'd be like, okay, we need to cheer up, guys. Let's go to the bookstore and get my daughter's books. Make them all go and buy my book. And I'd be like, Dad, this is probably not the books for your friends. Oh, no, they can buy your books, honey.
The Inside Flap is available on demand and every week on iTunes, Spotify, and around the world on theinsideflap.com. What more can we do for you?
Podcasting live from Littleton, Colorado, this is the Inside Flap Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Dave Medicus, and welcome to the show. Seated across the table, to my right, is Laura Medicus.
Howdy.
Howdy. We thank you guys for joining us. We got a great show for you today. We're joined by another number one New York Times bestselling author here on
The Inside Flap.
The Inside Flap. Inside Chat edition. Yes, we are joined by Christine Feehan today, a number one New York Times bestselling author. She is an author of paranormal romance, paranormal military thrillers, and fantasy. International bestselling author of 7 series. Her new book is Murder at Sunrise Lake, and we will have that conversation for you in just 1 second. We're brought to you today by IndieBound. Make sure you're doing your, anytime you want to do some book buying, you want to celebrate and promote, help support independent booksellers. Make sure you're going to, what you can do is you can go to our website, theinsideflap.com, check out the IndieBound link and use that to head on over to IndieBound. It won't cost you one penny extra, but it does help to support us as well as independent booksellers everywhere. All right. We are getting ready to head out on a little vacation. I'll do a little last minute switch up there. As Laura, I suspect you thought we were heading to one town to start off our vacation for the first 2 nights.
In my defense,
it was not that town. We had to.
My defense, we planned this vacation like December of 2019.
Yes, December 2019.
So this was a long time ago when we planned this vacation.
It's been a long time.
Clearly,
coming.
The vacation was not had during the summer pandemic of 2020.
Right.
So then we just rebooked everything. Mm-hmm. And then I never thought about it again until I looked up the name of the town that I, for some reason, that I thought we were going to. And in my head, Port Townsend.
Right.
I looked it up. I was like, oh, we're going to Port Townsend.
And you said that to me just 1 hour ago right now.
I've been telling clients that that's where I'm going.
And I said, no, we are not going to
Port
Townsend.
I've been very excited about going to Port Townsend.
Mm-hmm. I said, we are going to Port Angeles.
It was a year and a half ago that I first planned it, and I thought I wanted to go to Port Angeles. Port Angeles might be fine. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure it's a lovely town. But we did do a little last minute arranging. Got the last room in a little B&B, and we'll keep you posted as we will be dropping some shows for you while we're out and about. So we'll be giving you updates on our vacation. We do have one a few little updates from our last trip. I make it sound like we just jet set all over the place.
Our last trip was the very first. Well, whatever.
Yeah, it was a nice little.
It was like a 3-day weekend.
A 3-day weekend out in Glenwood Springs. But we did see something interesting as we were out walking about the little town there of Glenwood Springs and coming back through town, heading back to the
cute little
hotel.
Victorian homes.
Yeah, it's really nice little town there.
Yeah, railroad town.
And you can head up and get into Aspen from there, or you can head out west and go to Utah. Nice little town. In any case, there is a gentleman sitting on the front lawn.
He's laying down, Dave.
Yeah, I guess he is. He was
propped up with an elbow.
Reclined in repose, and he had a pair of binoculars with him. And, anytime you see a guy sitting out on his yard with a pair of binoculars, you know, you're your shackles get raised a little bit. Well,
shackles.
Something gets raised.
They're called hackles.
Your hackles.
Let's hope your shackles are raised.
I'm thinking about that one vacation.
That's a different problem.
I haven't told you about the one vacation I ended up in shackles. That's not a whoops. That's my other podcast. I'm talking about that one.
That's funny.
Yes, my hackles were raised.
I didn't even notice it. I saw people like talking to him in a kindly fashion, and then they got inside their car and bid him adieu, and he waved
adieu
and smiled.
Adieu.
And I thought, oh, adieu. He's the homeowner. They came to visit him. Perhaps they'd all been laying in the grass earlier and having a nice little chit chat outdoors.
Well, you figure something is going on. So we
didn't notice the binocs.
I saw the binocs, and we get up closer. And the guy's like, hey, what's going on?
He's older, too. We should say this.
Older
probably
gentleman.
In his 70s.
Yep. Hey, how you doing? Hey, you know, see that tree over there? I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that tree. That's a tall one. He's pointing out this
huge pine tree.
Massive, massive, couple hundred feet. Beautiful. Lots of leaves. Spectacular. Needles.
Shackles, leaves. It's fine.
A lot of shackles in the pine tree.
Just a book podcast.
And, you know, really full, like the Griswold family Christmas tree. It's full, really full. I say, yep, I see it. And then he kind of gives a little twinkle in his eye. Like he knows, I mean, he's got the secret. Mm-hmm. So he's going to drop it on. He said, hey, you know, there's a bear up in
a
that tree.
A big bear.
We're like, what? He said there's a big bear and he
beautiful
points.
Old residential neighborhood.
Yeah, right in the middle of this suburban residential, downtown,
little town
neighborhood. And if you look, and we looked real close, and if you look about halfway up, now this sucker must have been a good 100 feet off the ground, maybe 80 feet off the ground, real high up there. There is a massive bear.
Big brown bear.
Just laying down on
asleep.
One of the branches. Just sleeping. And the guy's like, yeah, he's been there for a couple hours now. I'm waiting for him to wake up, and I'm going to check him out when he comes down.
Yeah, well, he kept calling it a mama bear.
Oh, he did.
Because he claimed
right.
that there were some cubs spotted a couple blocks, three blocks down to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And that the mama bear had put herself up for a long nap.
Right.
I guess was just letting her cubs play free, or maybe they were in their own little pine trees.
Maybe the cubs wore this mama out and she had to put herself down for a little nap.
Yeah, but it's in front of someone's home. It's a tree in someone's front yard.
Yep.
Now where I was like a 200-pound bear asleep 100 feet in the air above you.
It frightened the hell out of me because my plan always, if I ever saw a bear
know,
when I'm out, was just to run up a tree.
I know, mine too.
There's no, this
That's
guy
been my
was
plan.
A huge bear
100
feet up in the tree.
This gal, I think.
You can't, there's no getting away from these things.
No.
You just got to go out. Well, you got to find yourself the
you gotta
slowest
make some
friend.
Noise.
You got to make no. You make some slow friends.
Oh.
You got to make some slow friends, and go out with.
I had also been
with hikes with them.
You know, they tell you to like bears can't run up and downhill, so you're supposed to run like up diagonal, down diagonal, up again diagonal. And I'm like, I'm gonna be exhausted.
That is true.
I can't do that either.
No. Uh-uh.
And they're like, that'll wear a bear out. It's like what? I can't. Like they're acting like I'm. Superhuman strength that I'm able to do this.
That's true.
And
we came back and we left the guy there. We stayed for a little bit.
Yeah,
kind of just waited, hoping.
Well, the
that
other
the
thing
bear would...
too is you walk around the town and there's a lot of big fir trees, and you think,
yeah,
like, is a bear gonna fall on top of me?
Just picturing these
like,
bears
are they gonna
dropping
like
out of trees,
twitch
like
the wrong way in their dreams and just fall.
Yeah,
I bet that happens.
It has to happen. I mean, how can you? It's amazing to think of this couple hundred pound
animal, wild animal,
just resting languorously, precariously perched on this pine branch
in front of someone's front yard.
It's insane
that you wouldn't have no idea. There's a sidewalk below this bear.
So
there's
we,
cars parked in the street near this bear.
We went along our way, leaving the guy there.
We were
like,
looking
We
looked for the cubs, though.
It turned out the guy was, you staying in town there? Said, we're staying at this. Oh, yeah, we're staying at... So he was from out of town.
He was a tourist.
He had parked himself there. Now, he wasn't going to leave until this bear came down.
No.
He probably was planning on having the wife drop by a dinner for him.
Yeah.
He was perched there, and we did come... I came back later, went for a little run. went back, and the bear was gone. The man was gone 3 hours later. So
unbelievable.
Hopefully he got to see him come down. And,
we had another funny thing happen in that town, which wasn't really funny, but I took like the world's hottest hike. It was probably, it felt like 102 degrees, but
yes,
up I think to it was 96 degrees.
The graveyard.
Mm-hmm, up to see Doc Holliday's grave.
Doc Holliday's grave, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And really hot, straight uphill. I was listening to Andre Leon Talley's from the Chiffon Trenches on audiobook. Yes. So that helped it.
Nice.
Which is really good. But we get up there and you and I met up there, mm-hmm. Which sounds weird, but you ran walked.
I ran, you walked. Yep. I went.
Yeah. And so around. We're standing there looking at Doc Holliday's grave and we both hear in broad daylight, very hot. We hear audible footsteps crunching across the dry gravel. Mm-hmm. And there's no one there.
Yep, that is 100% true.
Nobody there.
Yep.
We both turned like, oh, there's someone approaching. Yep. Someone else
both
is
both of
up
us
here.
Turned around like there was somebody right there.
Yeah.
And nobody was
nobody
there.
Nobody there. No now, bear, nothing in sight.
The shackles were raised
the shackles
on that
were
one,
raised
for
again.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And come to find out, his body's not there. This is what they like to do out, in the West.
This is what they do.
They love
the
to do this in the West.
Buffalo Bill up here on Lookout Mountain. Yeah. Allegedly, the
allegedly
body's up there.
He's somewhere up he's there. Somewhere perhaps up there. In they maybe, have a pot. They have a Potter's perhaps. Yard
yeah.
up there.
Potter's Field.
Potter's yep. Field. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, a good trip out there. We're looking forward to our new one headed up to Washington State. One last trip. If you're out there, Glenwood Springs, a shout out to Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park. Mm. We went there first thing on the Monday morning as we were heading back out of town, hit every single ride in just a number of hours, didn't wait, had
multiple
the one thing
times.
That swung you out. And this amusement park, you take a gondola up to the top of a mountain, and the whole amusement park is on the top of the mountain. The first ride we took swung you, this massive steel arm, swings you out over the cliff there, so you're looking straight down at the cliff, or you're looking straight up at the sky, depending on what way you're facing on the mechanical arm there. So a lot of fun there. I got a little bit of a look when we went to the climbing wall, and now I was wearing flip flops. So at the climbing wall there, you can get strapped in, and three people at a time can go up to the top. And Sylvia had chosen the medium route, and I said, well, I will take the hard route. And I went to, I chucked my flip-flops off, thinking I was going to climb barefoot, forgetting that, we're still, I guess, afraid of germs. And in any case, I shouldn't be climbing this wall with bare feet. So the woman operating the thing kind of looked at me, looked down on my feet, and I was like, oh, I guess I should put my flip-flops on to climb this.
Yeah.
She said, yes. Yes.
You have that toe.
I do have that toe. That toe that I ran over with the lawnmower.
It doesn't look
10
healthy.
Years ago. It looks
and if
like
you don't a, know, yeah. you might think it's a something like a fungus, maybe.
Mm, there's a fungus among us. All right. Well, let's get on with it. Our guest is Christine Feehan. Her new book is Murder at Sunrise Lake. And Laura, you want to tell us a little bit about this book?
Yeah. So Sunrise Lake is a little resort town in the Sierra Nevadas. I don't think we've ever been to the Sierra Nevadas in California.
No, we have not.
Have we?
That's right. No.
Never, huh? Mm. A woman named Stella Harrison owns and runs it, and Stella can see murders before they happen.
Mm.
She sees someone fishing at a fishing hole that looks very familiar to her, and she sees a killer lurking under the water. Usually when she has these dreams, she knows she's just a few days to figure out who the killer is or to help prevent the murder. Because that's usually she'll dream about these like kind of almost serial killers a few days before the actual killing happens.
All right.
So her clock, this clock starts ticking down.
Yes.
So it's all set up at this beautiful little resort. So this has a touch of paranormal with what I just told you. There's a touch of romance and a touch of a thriller. So for all the Christine Feehan fans out there, it's a little bit different than her typical stories. But just know that going in.
All right. Sounds good. And now this was a conversation you got to tackle solo.
I did.
As I was schlepping Sylvia's friend way up north. near Boulder. And yeah, you took it on yourself. Your first solo
interview.
It
was my first solo interview.
Yes, I'm very excited.
That's right. That's right.
And she didn't know how to use the equipment, but we talked you through it.
Yeah.
And we got it done.
That's right.
Okay. All right. And without further ado, here's Laura's conversation with Christine B.
You know what I was doing today? My grandson had his 6th birthday party, and he wanted a Power Ranger party.
Oh, wow.
And so I was a Power Ranger psycho, and I had to dress up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So I was in a onesie. Yes. Power Ranger red. The whole nine yards, and my friends were here, and they were all dressed in crazy costumes. It was the craziest thing you ever saw.
Like best grandma ever. Wow. Yes.
And I thought, if they could see me now.
I know. And the red power. That's awesome, actually. Good for you. Good for you. He will never forget that also. Yeah.
Oh, he was waiting for his Nana. He's like, where's Nana? Where's Nana? Because we were trash talking each other. He would FaceTime me and he'd be like, I'm going to get you, Nana. And because we were going to play laser tag.
Oh, I love laser tag.
Yes. And I said, you can't get me. I'm going to have rockets on my feet.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Christine, I really enjoyed your latest book, Murder at Sunrise Lake. Story about a young woman who runs a resort in the mountains of California. And she has prescient dreams about murders before they take place. Wild. What inspired you to write this book?
You know, it was really interesting. One of my daughters is quite the adventurer. Mm-hmm. And she goes to Yosemite quite often. She actually hiked the John Muir Trail by herself, 267 miles alone.
Wow.
And she's summited Whitney a couple of times.
Wow.
And of course, you know, she's gone and done the Alps in Europe a couple of times. And she has these friends who do these interesting jobs up in that area in the Mammoth area.
Yeah.
And they do all these jobs that are in that book.
Look.
And we were sitting around talking one day. And of course, my mind it goes to murder.
Of course.
We're talking about all these cool things on the trails and climbing because they all climb, they all hike.
Wow.
And I'm going, oh, wow, what if there was a serial killer? And the one that heads up search and rescue started talking about, you know, well, of course we find bodies. And sometimes they do think that perhaps it was murder, but there's no way to prove it. Wow. And then the one that runs the resorts is like, well, you know, water and alcohol never mixes. And there's always that possibility, but there's no way to prove it. So the more we all got talking, the more it became interesting to me to come up with that kind of serial killer who doesn't really need, you know, at first, those accolades.
Yeah.
He thinks, oh, I can do this.
Yeah. And make it look natural. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I love the setting. I loved the idea of a small resort up in the Sierra Nevadas in California. Thought that was just so cool. I love the idea of a woman running it. I imagine that was fun to write about.
It was. And because it's all real and the area is so well known and all those places were very well known, you know, to me and to the people that were helping me with the story, were giving me, ideas. Oh, this would be really great. And that would be really great. And I had so many primary sources that I was so happy to write this book. I couldn't wait to do it, you know?
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
Yeah, it sounds, now that I know that about your daughter, I was really impressed by your female characters because they're very strong women. And the other thing that I also liked is you have minority women in here and their minority-ness, their race is not their defining trait at all. And I wondered how important it was for you, I guess, to include strong women in your story.
Well, they are strong women.
Very strong.
These women that make up these people that are my daughter's friends. And they have these different roles. Of course, you know, I fictionalized a good part of it, but some of them, their backstories are incredible.
Wow.
And the things that they've gone through are incredible. And the lives, you know, that they've to get here to the US and things that they've gone through to become who they are. Mm-hmm. They're just incredible people, and to sit with them and talk with them and the energy of them, they never stop doing things. They're amazing.
Wow, I felt that through your book. Yeah, it was very inspiring. I really enjoyed that. You're also, all of those characters have backstories. Have you thought about, you know, furthering the different characters into other stories?
I have. If I do, I want to make them each a standalone and just have the primary thread just be the women's friendships, not anything to do with any other part of any book melding through it.
Yep. I can see that. You also have some really good food described in here. And I had a terrible craving for fried zucchini reading this, to the point where I may have to go out tomorrow and get some. Do you ever get readers writing to you and talking to you about food?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I actually put that a lot in each of my series. You know, I have Cajun food and I have Cuban food. And you
it's
know,
so whatever. Fun to read about food. I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably fun to write about too.
Well, it's a lot of it is the heart of a home is your kitchen. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, so you do put that in there.
Yeah. That's awesome. You write, I think this book probably has the least amount of paranormal activity, if anything, that you've written, I think. Did you consciously set out to write something different? Were you like, you know what, I'm going to try this? Or does it just flow? Do you not think about it, I guess?
I don't think about it.
Yeah.
I just, a story will come to me and I just write that story the way it comes to me. This is the one probably that I, most of the times I don't plot out a story, this one, because the way that it had to be written, I plotted it probably the most that I've ever had to plot one.
Interesting. Was that hard?
Not really. No. Because I already, you know, stories unfold in my head and the characters kind of, it's like reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always really exciting to me. The whole story is always really exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't terribly hard.
Yeah.
It was terribly exciting.
That's good.
Yeah. I always have to make myself slow it down.
Really?
Constantly in my head, I'm like, you have plenty of time. There's always time. Slow it down.
What type of routine do you have? Do you have like a certain time in the morning that you start, or are you more like when you do you have a, I'm assuming you're consistent because you like you write a lot. I mean,
I'm extremely disciplined. Mm-hmm. I'm very much so. I absolutely will. I start at a certain time in the morning. I write, I do what we call power hours. I write I don't allow, you know, any phone calls, any research, any interruptions during that time that I'm writing. I get up for 15 minutes and walk around so I don't get any blood clots. Yep. I sit down and then I write for another hour. And then I do the same thing, walk around for 15 minutes. And I do that until from 8 until 4.
Wow.
And then I take some time off to do what I want to do. And then in the evening at around 7 or 8,
wow,
I write again like that. On a different book.
So you have two books going at the same time usually?
Yeah, but I had to train myself to do that. I couldn't do it for a long, long time. I literally would go into a different room. Mm-hmm. I use a different computer.
Oh.
And I would literally sit there for the longest time and stare at a blank page, but I would tell myself, this is what you're writing.
Okay.
And that's the only thing that I would do, mm-hmm, is think about that book. And now that's what I do. Is that
something like if one book starts to get old or whatever in your head, is it fun for you to turn into this other
book? I started doing that because I would often have books that I didn't think I would publish that I wanted to write for myself. And yeah, so I would do it at night for fun.
Yeah.
And then I would just be like, okay, I'm not going to publish this one. I'm just going to write for fun. I'm just going to write for me.
That's awesome. That's a great way to go about it, because I think I read somewhere that you had said, so you have, like, I think all of your series have hit number one on the New York Times bestselling list, which is amazing and absolutely amazing. Do you, when you first started writing, did you realize this would be your life? Because I think you had said that you started kind of writing books for your own enjoyment, for your own entertainment. Kind of.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I had a career. I started writing when I was a child, and I forced all my brothers and sisters to listen to all of my stories, and awesome, they better say they were good or else.
Yes.
That was it.
Yeah.
But, then as I grew up, I continued to write. I wrote every single day.
Oh.
But I taught martial arts.
Yes.
And it was easy to take my children with me. So I taught martial arts, but I brought my kids with me. Mm-hmm. And then when I wrote, it was like my kids were in gymnastics and I would take them to their gymnastics class. And so I'd sit there and I'd write. And, you know, when they were playing baseball, I'd sit and write. And I did it for myself.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to polish stories. You just got them out of your head.
Yeah.
So I'd have like manuscripts under my bed.
Wow.
I'd write them and then I'd toss them under my bed.
When did you realize that you could make a life out of that for yourself?
You know, I had children at home and I had to retire from martial arts because of a health issue. And I still had these kids that they needed food, darn it. And they insisted on eating, which I thought was very rude.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
And they wanted clothing. So one of my friends said to me, well, you know, send your book in. And I was like, they don't take vampire stories. And at the time I had written Dark Prince.
Yep.
And that was what I was working on. And she's like, no, it's really good. Send it in.
Yeah.
And pretty much just to make her be quiet. I didn't even know about RWA.
Wow.
I'd never heard of it. I knew nothing about it. And I didn't really know anything about publishing.
Yeah.
So, and nobody was, none of the publishers would even really read it.
Wow.
Because it had vampires in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Dorchester called me and said they wanted it. And I hung up on them.
Oh, no. Did you think it was a friend or?
No, I didn't really think that anybody was going to take it. And, you know, I had been, I took in children and I did all these things. And it was sort of the last part of me And I didn't know if I wanted to give it away.
I understand that. Yeah. It was private. It was yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really a hard thing for me to give up.
I bet. Yeah. When your first book was published, did you have a moment, did those feelings follow you into that first publication where of like, you maybe felt like, oh, do I tell people that I'm publishing this? Or did you feel comfortable at that point?
I wasn't comfortable. I've never really truly been comfortable. I'm not somebody who, I wished that I'd put my sister's picture on there. You know, the nice part is people don't really recognize authors that much. Sure. I hate to use the word shy. I'm not necessarily a shy person. Mm-hmm. I'm probably an introvert.
Yeah.
And I can talk to people if I have to, but I will say my very first signing, I spent the whole time in the bathroom throwing up.
Yes. But now, oh my God, I bet you have rabid fans though.
Like, they're very wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky to have the followers that I do, the readers that I do. They've been so good to me.
Yeah.
And most of them are very aware that I have such a problem. Once I'm in front of people, I can talk to people. Yeah. It's just that initial, I first get there, it's so difficult.
Yeah. I cannot even imagine, actually. I'd be shaking in my boots. Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's, did your family, so when you were writing the stories, were your parents encouraging of your writing?
Yes. Yes. I've been very lucky that they always were. They always were. And it was so cute. My father, as he got older, you know, they get older and all their friends are dying because they're in their 80s, you know, and they'd all go to the funeral and then he'd be like, okay, we need to cheer up, guys. Let's go to the bookstore and get my daughter's books. Make them all go and buy my book. And I'd be like, Dad, this is probably not the books for your friends. Oh no, they can buy your books, honey.
Oh, awesome. That's so awesome. Were you a little embarrassed to have your parents read your books at first?
I wasn't, I've never been embarrassed about the way I write. And I think, and I was never embarrassed talking to my children.
That's good.
I think because to me, sex is just a part of life.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's just, I want my children to have really good sex lives. And I want them to be, I wanted them to know their wife or their husband. Everybody, it's always the mistress. It's always that person that's outside the marriage.
Yes.
And yeah. I hate that so much.
Yeah.
I want them to know. My mother one time said to me, you know, Christine, it is really easy for a man to be a great lover if he has a new partner every night. He thinks he's awesome.
Yep.
Try being a great lover if you have the same partner for 40 or 50 years. And they were married 62 or 3 years before she passed away.
Wow.
And, you know, there was something to that.
Right.
And I always thought that. And I thought, why is it that the books always seem to have the other woman be this really hot
chick?
She's the one that makes him, you know.
Yeah.
I want him to think she's the most beautiful woman on the face of the earth. And no matter what she looks like, for him, it's her.
Yeah. Your female characters are definitely strong women who, they've got some trauma in their past and different things like that, but they are their own person. And, that's great. Always great to read because you don't read that as often as you should, I guess. feels that way anyway.
Yeah. Well, I try to make every book the real, that we have real issues, all of us. And we're not, you know, we're not dolls.
No.
Things happen to us.
Yeah.
And we're not, we don't have perfect bodies. I mean, when I say we're curvy, we're curvy. And the guy still thinks we're beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, and so I want people out there who have issues, women who've had issues in the past, and we all react differently to that. You know, I worked in those areas for reasons, because I certainly have had my own past.
Yeah.
And all women react differently. We don't all react the same way. Yeah. And so I've put those different reactions in books for a reason.
Yeah.
And I want women to know it's okay.
Yeah.
And I want men to realize that a woman has to be the one leading that way, mm-hmm. you know, when she says no.
Yeah. Yes.
Listen. Yeah. Listen to her.
Yeah, for sure. And just one other little thing about your book that I also loved is I'm a big fan of Moulin Rouge as well.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Love that musical and movie, really. And are you a big fan of that, too?
I am. I am.
Yeah.
You tell?
Yeah. I figured you were. I was like, well, I got to ask her about that with the silks. Have you ever done the silks?
I personally have not, but several in my family have.
Yeah.
And the one, my little adventurer,
of course, she does.
And then little granddaughter, who is now, she will be turning 9 in 2 days.
Wow.
Going to a high tea.
Oh, okay.
Going from being a Power Ranger to dressing up. And going to high tea.
Fancy lady.
She does silks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I've never done it. I had a client who did that and she had it hung up in her living room. And I just thought, oh, that's wild. Yeah. Well, it is time now for a segment we call Quick Six. Don't feel stressed. 6 quick questions, which we find out a little bit more about you.
Okay.
Christine, what is the last show you watched or binged and really enjoyed?
The last show I watched. Oh, gosh. People always ask me what I watch. I'm not a TV watcher at all.
How about a movie? Do you watch movies?
Rarely. Rarely, rarely, rarely. It's terrible.
Because you're writing all the time, aren't you?
I am. But most of the time, if I binge watch anything, I will admit to watching every single version of Pride and Prejudice ever known to man.
There's a lot.
I own them all.
Okay. Yes.
Every single version.
Yeah.
And I will watch them over and over and over.
That's awesome. There's a lot out there. They're so good though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's I think the PBS one, I don't know. It might've been one of my favorites. The women didn't wear makeup in it. I don't know if you know the one. And they had it lit by like seemingly real candlelight too.
It looks like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. What fictional world or place would you like to visit? And if it's somewhere dangerous, we'll let you back in.
What fictional place would I visit?
It can be from your own places too.
I think I would visit a fictional world. I would probably visit. I think I would go with a Sherlock Holmes world.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be nice? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. With the gaslight, the wooden carriage.
The whole thing.
Fog. Yes.
The fog.
Yes.
Going through the streets and the...
Man. Yeah. And the smells, you get it all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great. Good one. We'd have to let you back in, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great time for women.
No.
How about a top 5 favorite movie?
Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Such a handsome, so handsome in that one. A top 5 favorite book that might be harder.
Oh, yeah. Top 5 of it. There's so many for me.
Yeah. Name a couple is fine.
Top five favorite. Okay, the original Born Identity.
Oh,
I loved that book, the actual book, not the movie. Hated that. No, I didn't hate it.
It wasn't just the book.
Didn't follow the book, but the book was really well written. Mm-hmm. And and of course I did love Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I read it over and over. And then another book that I read so much when I was a child was The Harvester.
I don't know.
Jane Stratton Porter.
Okay.
It was very old. It was old when I read it. So,
yeah.
But it was an interesting book to me. So
good one. Yeah. People can look for that one. All right, Christine, I don't know if you have this, but do you have a go-to karaoke song?
No. No, I don't. And if you one time I got caught singing karaoke.
What were you singing?
Somebody recorded it. I think it was Born in the USA or
something.
Exotic thing like that.
Oh no. Roots. That's hilarious. Yeah, that's really funny. Last but not least, what book are you currently reading? Mm-hmm. Are you reading it all right now?
At the moment, I am writing like a fiend.
I think you're always writing like a fiend.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I usually reward myself with a book after I write. But right now I'm writing a Ghostwalker book, so I'm having to do lots of research. So,
ooh, do you like doing the research?
I love doing research. I have to cut myself off.
Yeah.
I'm very bad about that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I can see that. We've heard lots of different authors you can get bogged down in it and rabbit hole it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. Loved your book.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it. It was so fun to write, and I'm really hoping people will pick it up because it was really fun to write.
Great. I love mystery books. Huge mystery fan. I'm a big cozy reader. I like paranormal. I like a little romance with all of my books, and you had that for me. And I like a strong woman character also. So yeah, have fun at your granddaughter's tea party.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
The Inside Flap.
All right. Nice job, Laura. Very good. Let me give you a nice round of applause. And thanks to Christine Feehan for coming on. Her book is Murder at Sunrise Lake. That'll do it for us for this Inside Chat edition. We'll be back later on this week with Andrew Dowd in a regular episode and special guest. What do we have coming up?
We have a bunch of great people.
Have Riley Sager coming up. So look forward to that. We'll see you later.
Adios.
Let's go to the bookstore and get my daughter's books.